here in Atlanta. It's my great pleasure to introduce to our colour man for Sunday. He's here to cover his 38th Super Bowl. He's one of the most revered NFL writers in America, and he is the father of a future Hall of Famer, Larry Fitzgerald Sr. Welcome to SEN.
Thank you. It's great to be with you. And I tell you, Atlanta and Super Bowl 53, Atlanta's had the Super Bowl before, and they've had some issues in terms of dealing with weather, unexpected, that type of thing. But this Super Bowl, you can't argue with the fact that they've got two terrific teams. You've got a dynasty in the Patriots, the greatest of all time in Tom Brady, and then this upstart Ram team that just hit Los Angeles by storm.
Yep. What's the Super Bowl come to mean to you over the years, Larry, having seen so much of, well, it's, you're the living history. There's banners all around Radio Row from Super Bowl I all the way through to 53, so it'll trigger memories, I'm sure, with those who have covered them. You've been here for so many of them. What does the day mean?
Well, the first one for me was Super Bowl 15 between the Raiders and the Philadelphia Eagles, and it was in New Orleans. And it was at the beginning of my career, and I wanted to get a feel for how big it was to cover a world championship, the magnitude of a Super Bowl. And what I learned that week is that much can happen during the week that can have an effect on the game. And then, two, you realize that there's so much more that goes on during the week than just the game itself. Yep. The business, the industry, the marketing, so many things that go on during the week of the Super Bowl. It's a celebration of life for, you know, America and around the world. And so here we are at Super Bowl 38, and I've always tried to take the mindset of when you're doing a report, when you're writing a column, when you're doing a little television, take that same energy that you would have if you're doing a Super Bowl. And so that's what it's meant to me, and it's great to be here for another one.
How's it grown in that time, Larry?
It just continues to, by leaps and bounds. I mean, in the United States, there's no doubt about it, the Super Bowl is the number one rated event in television, not just in sports, but in television. And the National Football League, they got it right. They really have a unique formula from the 70s when the two leagues came together, the AFL and the NFL, and with the merger. And these two conferences, I think, are different in many ways, but yet the football is just fantastic. And with the rule changes and the fact that offense this year was probably more explosive than it's been since back in the old AFL days, the game has just been sort of recharged. And so here we have a team like the Rams. They scored 527 points, averaged 34 points a game. And then you've got the Patriots with Brady and Bill Belichick and their philosophy of doing what you have to do to win. Whatever that is, they have a game plan of preparation, of dissecting their opponent, and then taking away the elements of their opponent's best to win the game.
How vividly do you remember Atlanta 19 years ago and the ice storms which have been recounted during this week and the chaos, and the city felt it might never get the showpiece game again, and yet here we are?
Yeah, it's amazing that something that's really out of your hands can put a bad taste on the memory of many of us while we're here all week. And I remember it vividly. The weather was so bad a couple of days where the cab drivers, there were no, they call them Uber drivers and Lyft, that didn't exist back yep. then. You were dependent on a cab, and the cab drivers weren't driving. It was, they hadn't driven on ice. It was frightening. You couldn't get from one event to another. So Atlanta is fortunate. But Dallas got a bad draw, too, a few years ago when storms hit that city. And it hit early in the week, much like the forecast is for this week. But as we get closer to Sunday, things should warm up.
Do you What sort of sporting town is Atlanta in your experiences?
I think it's a good sports town. I wouldn't call it a great sports town. You know, they've got the NBA and Atlanta Hawks. You know, they've had the National Hockey League come and go. Obviously, the SEC, you know, the College Football Hall of Fame. I mean, every year at Alabama seems to be playing, you know, either Georgia or LSU for, you know, supremacy in the SEC conference. And so it's a tremendous sports town. Baseball is huge here in Atlanta. I mean, you look at the baseball park they just built a couple of years ago. There's a tremendous passion for sports in this town, in this community, and it just takes turns. They hand it over to football. They hand it back over to baseball. Now, the Falcons, of course, were in the Super Bowl 3 years ago, and, boy, they were that close.
Yeah.
I mean, they had a 25-point lead on this Patriot team, and I was there. I saw it with my own eyes. I still don't believe it, but they didn't win it, and that's something that you will never forget.
Jared Whateley with you in Atlanta, and with me, Larry Fitzgerald Sr., who's going to share the broadcast on Monday, Australian time. Is what makes a great Super Bowl, Larry? It's sort of a question of what makes a great Olympics, and it's usually the fusion of the town and the involvement of the city, and then great sporting moments which resonate, they echo through the years. In all of your experiences through 37 of them, what makes a great Super Bowl?
Well, you got to have the energy right from the beginning, because there's such a build-up, and a Super Sunday seems to take quite a while. I mean, all day from the time you get up, you know, minute by minute, up to the kickoff. It's got to have something that right from the beginning, you know, kind of grabs you. And the Super Bowls are, I mean, because it's the most explosive game from the standpoint of energy, because once they finally do the national anthem and they clear the field and they start playing, man, these guys know what they're playing for.
Yep.
They're playing for that ring. That ring means everything to them. I can tell you, my son was so close years ago to win a world championship, and to see him score two touchdowns and to give his team the lead with literally a minute left, and then to literally sit there and watch the Pittsburgh Steelers, the winningest team in Super Bowl history, they've won six of them, march methodically down the field and to put a touchdown on the board with 20 seconds left was one of the greatest pains I've had to experience, in terms of just pulling for your son. You want him and his efforts and his team to win the world championship, and they won three games that year, but they didn't have the home field advantage and they weren't one of the top two seeds in their conference. And so that was the penalty that they had to pay, in that they had to win four games, including the Super Bowl, to win the world championship. The Patriots and Rams are in a better position. They've only got to win three. But I want to guarantee you, it is very difficult to win four games against the 12 best teams in the National Football League. And that's why Super Bowl Sunday is something that I'm so passionate about watching, because these players really go out there to do everything they can to grab that Vince Lombardi trophy.
Did you write about the game that your son played in?
Oh, absolutely.
How did you work your way through the emotions of it to be able to write about it?
Well, it was a unique week in the sense that I'm the first sports writer in history, the only one, to cover his own son in a Super Bowl. And so that week, the media, the national media, I've got many friends in the business for many, many years, they really talked a lot about how could I be a father watching the Super Bowl, pulling for my son, cheering for my son,
yep,
they felt, and then separated from being a reporter, a writer, a talk show host. And I told him I had experience at this. I've been doing it since, you know, he was a small child. And so I was able to get through it, because when I cover games, I don't just cover my son. I'm obviously watching what he's doing, but I'm covering the game, and I'm trying to get a feel for, you know, the outcome, how it's decided, who played the strongest roles, and putting your piece together when you go after the game and talk to the players and coaches. So I didn't do anything different that week, although it was really difficult to, to go and talk to your son and see the pain that he had.
So he's a wide receiver with the Arizona Cardinals. It's broadly regarded that he's a future Hall of Famer. Yeah. What's it been like to live through his journey and to see him succeed in a league that has obviously got a really close place to your heart?
It's been very gratifying. Our story, you may or may not know about it. My wife of 24 and a half years, Carol, she died of cancer in 2003. Larry was a first-year player with the University of Pittsburgh. He was All-American that year. And, he and his mom had a little difficulty in terms of communication on how to do some things. And, he didn't talk to her, the last few weeks of her life. And that's something that he's had to carry with him. And he was drafted, obviously, by the Arizona Cardinals. First round, Dennis Green, who I did his radio show back in Minnesota with the Vikings for 8 years, took Larry in the first round. And he's just been an incredible player with a great passion for winning and trying to help his team win big games. And he's helped the Cardinals change their culture, become recognized as a consistent winner. This year there was a big setback in terms of where they were with Bruce Arians when he was there for 5 years. But Larry still is very passionate about winning and about trying to get a championship. And in the National Football League, as we saw this year, teams can go from last place to first place. The Dallas Cowboys did it, got to the playoffs, won a game, and we're right there. Only the Rams knocked them out.